Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the freedom for the prisoners, and recover the sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Matthew. Let's pray. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love and your grace for each and every one of us. And we pray now in the name of Jesus that Holy Spirit, you'd come and open our ears and soften our hearts to hear what you want to say to us. Because we love you and we need you. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start by watching a video.
I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. What will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. We will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
We don't have to watch it again. It's okay.
My four little children.
Thank you. Thank you very much. There we go. An iconic moment in history. There, on the 28th of August, 1963, on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., in front of 250,000 people who'd marched on Washington, part of the civil rights movement, to seek equality for black people in the United States of America. There, Martin Luther King Jr. spoke those famous words which inspired not just that generation, but every generation since then. And you know, the most famous part of that speech, which we've just heard an extract of, the most famous part wasn't even scripted. Martin Luther King had been speaking from his pre-prepared notes when a friend of his in the crowd, a lady called Mahalia Jackson, shouted out to him, "Tell him about the dream, Martin! Tell him about the dream!" And so Martin Luther King spoke those words which altered the course of history. I have a dream. And what was his dream? What was his dream? Freedom. Freedom was his dream. He said, you have heard it just then, let freedom reign. And when this happens, when we allow freedom to reign, when we let it reign from every village, every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. And it moves me, it stirs me every time I hear those words, every time I read those words. It touches my heart. Because we all long to be free, don't we? That desire to be free is hardwired into the heart, into the soul of every single human being. And when we're not free, we cry out for freedom. We cry out for that freedom we so desperately long for. But you know, just as in Martin Luther King's day, there were forces at work in America to deny freedom to people that God had made in his image, so there are forces at work in our world today which do the same. Racism still exists in our world today and in our society, even here. And it's a stain on our world. It's a stain on our society. But you know, it's not just racism which denies people freedom. There are countless other things too. You know, being a white man here in Britain, I'm not directly affected by racism. But there are other things that threaten to take away my freedom, just as there are things that threaten to take away your freedom too. Things that seek to prevent us from being the people that God made us to be. There are areas of our lives, all of our lives, where we're not living in freedom. And if we stop and pause and look closely within ourselves, we know that to be true. And some of them are obvious, aren't they? There are some things which are obvious. Things like addiction to drugs, to alcohol, gambling, pornography, whatever it is, addiction. If you're in the grip of an addiction, you don't need me to tell you that you're not free. But there are other less obvious things too, aren't there? Things like resentment. Like petty squabbles which turn into resentment, which then take root in bitterness. Bitterness takes root and denies us our freedom. There's things like greed, lust, whether for sex, money, or power, whatever it is, that denies us our freedom. A desire to be in control robs us of our freedom. Fear, anxiety, they rob us of our freedom. And then there's the wounds of the past, the painful things that people have said to us or done to us. Painful memories of rejection or abandonment. And they can keep us prisoners to the past as well. Lots of things in the world. And I want to ask you a question. And maybe this is something you can just for 30 seconds or a minute, turn to the person next to you and talk about this. What are the issues that you see people struggling with in the world, in your neighborhood, or where you work? And it could be some of the things that I've already spoken about, but maybe it's something else. Just turn to the person next to you and just for 30 seconds. What are the issues you see people struggling with where people aren't free in our world? All right, your 30 seconds are up. Sorry, I don't give you very long, do I? Somebody shout out some things. Anything we haven't talked about? Poverty. Thank you. Poverty. Stress. Stress, yes. Anything else? Poor mental health, somebody say. Yeah, thank you. Yes. Yeah. Unemployment. Pride. Big one. Pride. Thank you. Yes. Anything else? Domestic violence. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Consumerism. Loads of things, aren't there? Loads of things that keep us bound. And so the next question, this isn't one to discuss, you'll be pleased to hear. This is one for you just to think about in the quietness of your own heart. And it's this: are you free? What are the issues that you're struggling with right now? Or that you've struggled with for some time? In the quietness of your own heart, have a think about that for a moment. You see, it wasn't meant to be like this. It wasn't meant to be like this. We were made to be free. Adam and Eve show us that freedom is God's design for the world. That's how God designed us, to be free. And in Genesis chapter 1, the first chapter of the first book of the Bible, we read how Adam and Eve enjoyed a life of freedom, a life of joy, and a life of authority. They had freedom. Freedom from all struggle. There was no sin, there was no sickness, there was no death. They were free from all struggle. Joy. They had joy in the presence of God. Every day they enjoyed being in God's presence as he walked with them in the garden. They had freedom, they had joy, and they had authority. God told them, he told them to be fruitful and increase in number. He said, fill the earth and subdue it and rule over effectively the whole of creation, to paraphrase. They had freedom, joy, and authority. Well, we know what happened next, don't we? They did the one thing that they were told not to do. They rejected, in eating the fruit they've been told not to eat, they rejected God's loving rule over their lives. And what happened? It all went wrong. They forfeited the freedom that was theirs. And life became a struggle instead of a joy. And the authority that they'd been given was handed over to Satan. He then had authority over them and over us. Things got messed up. And we have been living with the consequences of that ever since. But we can't just blame them and say, Adam and Eve, what a terrible couple they were. No. Because if we look closely at ourselves, if we don't even need to look that closely at ourselves, do we? And we recognize that actually we are part of the problem. That sickness we call sin, lurks in our heart as well, in every human heart. Their story is our story. But like Martin Luther King, God had a dream. A dream that he did something about. A dream that he's turning into reality. And that dream is freedom. Freedom for me, freedom for you, freedom for all his children. And about 2,700 years ago, give or take, a man called Isaiah was a prophet, and God spoke to him and gave him a message to pass on to his people. And that message was all about freedom. And you can read it in Isaiah chapter 61. It says this: the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me, that means chosen me, to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And when Jesus arrived on the scene to begin his public ministry almost 700 years later, he stood up in the synagogue. Matthew's just read this from Luke's gospel. Jesus stood up in the synagogue to read those words from Isaiah aloud. And then with everyone's eyes fixed on him, he sat down, because that's how rabbis taught. They would sit down to teach. He sat down and said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your presence. Probably the shortest sermon in history. You're probably wishing that I preach sermons like that. But today, this scripture is fulfilled in your presence. In other words, Jesus is saying, now that I'm here, these things that God promised all those years ago, they're all going to come true. I'm here to take back the authority that Satan was given at the fall, and to reestablish God's loving rule right here on earth. I'm here to set people free. And everywhere he went from that point on, he went about demonstrating the truth of those words. Sick people were healed, the blind received their sight, and those who were tormented by evil spirits were set free. Everywhere he went, Jesus set people free. Free from sickness, from pain, disability, spiritual oppression, and even death. Jesus was putting right all those things that had gone wrong at the fall, all the things that were wrong in the world. And Jesus went to the greatest lengths imaginable to win back our freedom for us. Jesus said himself, we read this in Mark chapter 10, that he had come to give his life as a ransom for many. What's a ransom? Somebody tell me what a ransom is. A payment? Yep. Payment for what? To free a hostage. Right, so if some, in certain parts of the world, well, it even happens in this country, sadly, but in parts of the world, it happens a lot more than here, where somebody will be taken hostage, and they'll go to the people who love them and say, okay, pay us some money, and we'll let them go. So a ransom is a payment paid to a kidnapper to set someone you love free. And Jesus said, I've come to give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus loves us. He loves you so much that he doesn't want you bound by this, by the enemy. He doesn't want you bound by the devil, by Satan, by evil, by darkness. He doesn't want that. And he loves you so much that he came into the world to pay the price to set you free. And that price was his own blood shed on the cross for you and for me. And when Jesus hung on that cross with the weight of our sin bearing down on his shoulders, with his dying breath, he uttered those three fantastic words. It is finished. It is finished. The price has been paid. Our debt has been settled. We are free. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you've given your life to Jesus, you are free. Jesus has defeated the power of Satan once and for all on that cross. And he proved it by rising from the dead. Hallelujah. I'm more enthusiastic. Hallelujah. Great. And although Jesus then ascended to heaven, one day he promised he will return. And when he does return, he will destroy all evil once and for all. And then the whole of creation will be able to join in with those famous words of Martin Luther King Jr. that we just heard. Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. But in the meantime, Jesus calls us to live in his kingdom here on earth. To live in the freedom, in the joy, and in the authority that he has won back for us on the cross. And to lead others on that same journey. You see, it's not just Martin Luther King who has a dream. We have a dream. God's given us a dream, and it's this: to see the communities where we live set free and transformed by the love and power of Jesus, bringing hope and life to the city. That's the dream that God's given us as a PCC. A couple of years ago, we went away and sensed that's what God was saying to us. But here's the thing. We're only going to be able to lead people on that journey. We're only going to be able to lead people into freedom if we ourselves are free and living in that freedom. We can only give out what we've received. And let's be honest with ourselves, guys. We're not all living in freedom. But the good news is we can. We just need to learn how. Now, just over two and a half years ago, I was licensed to this church. Okay, and when you're licensed as a church leader, you get a set of keys. And here's my set of keys. I think it might have been Dave who gave these keys to me. And there's a lot of keys here, as you can see. And to be honest with you, I'm not entirely sure what each and every key does. Okay, there's some keys that I really get. I know that, you know, the door to get in here and get, that's fine. But still, I'm thinking, right, okay, what is that key for? I don't know. But anyway, In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, we read that Peter, okay, Peter's one of Jesus' disciples, okay, he's been following Jesus around, and Jesus asks his disciples, okay, who do people say that I am? And they say, well, some people say you're a prophet or, you know, whatever this. And Jesus says, okay, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter says to him, well, you're the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus says to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and Peter, by the way, means rock. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Sounds amazing, doesn't it? What does it mean? It means this. It means that the church, remember, Jesus says, you're the rock, Peter, on which I will build my church. Okay? And he says, I will give you, Peter, the church, these keys. It means the church, us, the people of God, God's children, we have been given spiritual authority. We've been given spiritual keys to lock and unlock. That authority that we lost in the Garden of Eden has been won back for us on the cross by Jesus. We just need to realize that we have that authority. We have these keys. We need to understand that we have them. We need to understand what they're for, and we need to learn how to use them. And that's what we're going to be doing over these next few weeks. We're going to be looking through five keys for healing, for freedom rather. Five keys for freedom, which I came across in this brilliant book called Unbound by Neil Lozano. Actually, you can't borrow it because I'm still reading it. But look it up and buy it. It's really fantastic. It's a really good book helping to unpack the spiritual authority that we have to minister freedom in our own lives and in the lives of other people. And effectively, there are five keys to freedom. And here they are. Repentance, that's the first one. We'll look at that next week. Then forgiveness. Then renouncing the lies of the enemy. Okay, renouncing enemy influence in your life. Fourth one, taking authority in the name of Jesus. And the fifth one is receiving the Father's blessing. These are five keys. And if you learn how to use them, how to put them into practice in your life, it will transform your life. You will become more of the person that God made you to be. But walking in freedom isn't easy, okay? I'm not going to pretend it's easy. It's not easy. Why? Because we have an enemy who wants to deny us our freedom. And we read in Peter's first letter, chapter 5, verse 8, he says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Anyone heard that joke about the two wildlife photographers? They're in the Serengeti, and they've got the binoculars, and they're in the camouflage gear, and they're looking over the grass, looking for lions to take photos. And then one of them taps the other on the shoulder. He goes, over there, look over there. And they look over there, and there's this lion about 50 meters away from them, crouching and ready to spring for them. And the other guy says, pass me my trainers quick. And the fellow says, what are you talking about? You'll never outrun a lion. He says, I know, but as long as I outrun you, I'm going to be okay. And here's the thing, all right? What do lions do? They pick on the most vulnerable, don't they? Lions pick on animals that are wounded, don't they? They don't go after the big, strong bison. They go after the one that's got a limp. And our enemy... What are you laughing at, Helen? I don't know. Anyway, you can tell us later. But our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion, and he goes after those who are wounded. And God wants to heal us from our wounds. We're all wounded to some extent. Some of us more than others, maybe. But you know, Jesus was wounded on the cross so that our wounds can be healed. Do you hear that? You may be carrying wounds that you've had for years, and you think this wound will never be healed. But it says again in Isaiah, by his wounds we are healed. Not we might be healed or some of us are healed. No, by his wounds we are healed. So if you're carrying wounds with you, that you think, well, I'm just stuck with them. No. Jesus paid the price on the cross, and by his wounds we are healed. We just need to reach out to him for that healing and to take hold of these keys that he's given us, these keys to freedom. And together, over these next few weeks, let's get hold of these keys for freedom. And let's see God's dream for our neighborhoods and for us personally become a reality. And then, to quote Martin Luther King, let freedom reign. And when this happens, when we allow freedom to reign, when we let it reign in every village, in every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children will be able to join hands and sing in the words of that old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Amen. Let's stand together. I'm going to invite the band to come up.